ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 2, Text 66. Nasti buddhira yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha bhavayata shantir Ashantasya kuta sukham. Translation. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Yes, please. Please keep the peace. Otherwise, there can't be any happiness. Purport. Unless one is in Krishna consciousness, there is no possibility of peace. So it is confirmed in the fifth chapter, text 29, that when one understands that Krishna is the only enjoyer of all the good results of sacrifice and penance, that He is the proprietor of all universal manifestations, and that He is the real friend of all living entities, then only can one have real peace. Therefore, if one is not in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be a final goal for the mind. Disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. And when one is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor, and friend of everyone and everything, then one can, with a steady mind, bring about peace. Therefore, one who is engaged without a relationship with Krishna is certainly always in distress and is without peace. However much he may make a show of peace and spiritual advancement in life, Krishna consciousness is a self-manifested peaceful condition which can be achieved only in relationship with Krishna. Nasti buddhira yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana Nacha bhavayata shantir ashantasya kuta sukham. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Om Gyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Sreshtam Manamapi Shati Putra Matra Sarupam Rupam Tasyaga Jamurupurim Matharim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Giribaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Guruntam Natosmi Vandeham Sri Guru Siyatav Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavams Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Tamsha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna here asks a rhetorical question. Ashantasya kuta sukham. A person who does not, or is not peaceful, how can such a person be happy? So Krishna is indicating the real purpose of everyone's existence. Everyone wants to be happy, right? It's obvious, isn't it? We don't Even if you ask someone, do you want to be unhappy? And even if they said yes, that would mean that they would prefer to be unhappy, which means they'd be happy by being unhappy. Right? And there are some people like that. They take pleasure in being miserable. They take
everyone's against me. Blah, 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 blah.
They take pleasure in it's a perverse kind of pleasure in thinking that, well, the whole world is against me, or in being depressed. They get into a cocoon of depression, and then they don't want to come out because it's a kind of shield against the world. They block themselves off from everyone and everything. So everyone wants to be happy. It seems to be an axiomatic statement. Everyone wants to be happy. Krishna says here that one cannot be happy unless one is peaceful. Now that seems to go against the logic or the mode of living of modern America, where the idea is that you should live fast, work hard, enjoy yourself. Peacefulness is boring. What do you want to be peaceful? What do you want to be peaceful for? You should drive as fast as you can and shoot guns and have fashion clothes and live life king size. Live life king size and die and become ant size and dog size, and this is what happens. So, Krishna says one has to be peaceful, because if the whole point is that if the mind is disturbed, then one cannot be happy. Although in modern life, the idea is to agitate the mind, get the adrenaline going, then you'll be happy. So it's a different outlook. But the idea is that peacefulness means that one is not disturbed. And therefore, because if one is disturbed, one cannot be happy. Now, what are causes of disturbance? Fear, anxiety, desire. If we desire something, it means we don't have it, then we're not happy. So then we cannot be peaceful if we desire. I want to have more and more. I want this, I want that. The advertisement tells me to buy this, to watch this program on TV, and so on and so on and so on. So desire creates disturbance, because then we're discontent. We're not peaceful. We want something. We want to be happy. So this is Krishna's psychology course in Bhagavad Gita. There are so many psychological theories. But this is Krishna in Bhagavad Gita giving the synopsis that what is the actual state of mind in which one can be happy. We also find in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ataiv Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shakali Ashanta. Krishna says, no, actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna says that the devotee of Krishna has no desire, therefore he is peaceful. Those who desire, those who are desirous of something, they are not peaceful. And there are three major categories of desirers, which are those who desire material enjoyment. Of course, in America, we just see that desire. But there are also persons who desire liberation from the material world. And there are also yogis who desire mystic perfection. But they all have desires, and the very nature of desire is that as long as we have a desire, we're not peaceful. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, and this is the the whole purport of this purport of by Srila Prabhupada, that one who is in Krishna consciousness can be peaceful. Right? Because he has no desire. Of course, to be fully free of desire is not possible, because we're living beings, and the very nature of living beings is to be conscious and to have desires. The Buddhist theory, they're also, Lord Buddha, he gave this analysis that desire is the cause of suffering. Therefore, we should stop all desire. Peace, peace, let there be peace. That's also one definition of peace, no noise. No unnecessary noise. Only this noise should be heard, this sound of myself talking. I'm very demanding here. So, yeah, the Buddhist idea is that to stop all desire. And the desire is... Now, Vedic understanding is that that's not possible. Because, at least Vaishnava understanding, which is true Vedic desire, is that desire is concomitant with the living being. So that we always have desire. Then the Buddhists come up with a theory, anatma, there is no self. This is the shunyavad, means there's no self, there's no atma, there's no living being. There's no intrinsic existence to anything. Although, according to Buddhism, of course there are so many different schools of Buddhism. But just like if we say, this is a cushion. Well, according to Buddhism, it's always changing. Therefore, it has no intrinsic reality. So practically it doesn't exist. And our perception of it also, that is also meaningless, because we are also not living, there is no atma. So it's a very difficult philosophy to understand, which doesn't make any sense. But the actual understanding is that we are living beings, and therefore we have desire. So what does it mean that Krishna bhakta nishkam? The devotee of Krishna has no desire, therefore he's peaceful. That means, here the term karma is used in the sense in which it is defined elsewhere in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. That atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam. The desire to satisfy one's own senses is called material desire, karma. And krishnendriya priti iccha dhare premanam. The desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses, that is called prema. So to be free of material desire makes one peaceful, and the desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses, that is called love of Krishna. So a devotee should be free of material desire, then he'll be peaceful. He can't be peaceful. Impossible. Impossible. Can't sit still. Then, free of material desire, but then with spiritual desire. Now, how is that peaceful? Because we find in Krishna's pastimes, there doesn't appear to be much peace. In fact, if we find Krishna's pastimes, he's fighting all the time. Practically from the time he's born, he's fighting, fighting, fighting. So if you want to serve Krishna, he's a fighting person. He's always fighting. Killing people. Pretty extreme. Probably they'd want to arrest Krishna as what do they call that? Chain killer? Terrorist. At least Kamsa, he was the king, so he had his Navy SEALs going out to try and kill Krishna, right? They were the special forces. But Krishna was really tough, and he killed them all. Eventually he killed Kamsa. So, according to Kamsa's propaganda department, Krishna was the equivalent of Osama bin Laden. So how can one be peaceful if one is with Krishna? And Krishna, he doesn't appear to be peaceful at all. Always has. In fact, he's so agitated that he hardly even sleeps. He pretends to go to sleep at night. His mother tucks him up nicely. Then he jumps out the window and goes into the forest and dances with the gopis. Did you know that? Krishna at night is dancing with the gopis. You want to be a gopi with Krishna? You'd like to be a gopi. Not a cow or a cowherd boy. You want to be a gopi. There's all kinds of different things you can do. If you like, you can be a gopi, but you have to become completely free of material desire. But that's what Srila Prabhupada said to one of his young women disciples. He said, you can also become a gopi and Krishna will kiss you. You like Krishna to kiss you? Yes. Okay, good. Very good. So, not a very peaceful life. In Krishna consciousness, we don't see that people, the devotees don't appear to be very peaceful. The meditators, they appear to be very peaceful. If you want to be peaceful, what should you do? Then you have to go up to the Himalayas and sit in a cave. But probably some mining company will come. Or someone will be driving up to Badrinath and then they bring out their... someone told me this, that they were driving up to Badrinath and they were going around all the bends. Who's been to Badrinath? Anyone here? Yeah. You go on the road around all the bends and it's not very peaceful because you're looking down and there's no barrier. And if you don't drive carefully on that narrow road, then you'll be in the newspaper the next morning. Tourists fall off cliff, 3 lines in the paper. All killed. It's a long drop. So, they were hearing all this Bollywood music blaring out over the Himalayan valleys. So they came to a place where the road was a little bit wide and one family, probably from Delhi, had got out and they'd set up on the side of the road a generator so that they could watch the Bollywood movie while they were taking their picnic. And it was blaring all the sound everywhere. So it wasn't very peaceful. So you may go up to the Himalayas and sit in a cave and either the mining company comes or someone decides that they build a cinema house there or the army flies their helicopters over. There's no guarantee of peace anywhere. But that is... that's a good idea. Peace for my back. So where is that peace? And even if you go to the Himalayas, if you take our mind, not very peaceful. Who's tried meditating? Sitting peacefully and meditating? Who's tried? Peaceful? Did you find your mind was very peaceful? You became very peaceful. Really? No thoughts were going in the mind, just became completely empty. Really? No. You see your mom doing it every morning. 4:30 in the morning. Is that your mom sitting right there? Okay. And your mind becomes completely empty. Then how do you remember to get up again and prepare breakfast? Huh? There are moments when you feel peaceful. All right. But you have to go back to your family and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's why I sit at the early morning.
You sit in the early morning, but it's not.
But
with a little terror like that, you can't be peaceful all the time. Comes and sits with you. I see. And you're very peaceful. Is it? You don't even hear a sound. Only the crickets chirping. You see, even nature is not completely quiet and peaceful. You may think you want to go somewhere peaceful, but then the crickets make a chirping sound. Sometimes if you're in India in the rainy season, you're in the country, and the crickets make so much sound at night, you're completely out in the country, but it's so loud you can't sleep at all. Maybe in Florida also it's like that. Some parts of America must be like that. So the question is how to get peace. Or even if one is very peaceful, there's a problem that death comes and then we have to get born again. And birth, death, old age and disease are not a very peaceful condition. So when Krishna says here that one can attain peace and then happiness, what is that peace? It's not simply a matter of being in a quiet situation, but it means a state of inner peace in which Yasmin sthitena dukhena gurunapi vichalyate. It means that even if one is in the midst of very severe disturbance, that one is not disturbed in mind. So in other words, one may be very active outwardly, but inwardly one is peaceful. Whereas most people who try to meditate, then outwardly they may appear very peaceful, but inwardly the mind keeps on running on. It's not peaceful. So this is the kind of peace that Krishna is talking about. There are also, of course, many peace movements in the world. They want peace in the... You stop the war. When Srila Prabhupada was preaching Krishna consciousness in America in the 1960s, there was the peace movement to stop the war in Vietnam. But the young people, especially young people who wanted peace, because they were the ones being sent out to Vietnam. And the girls, their boyfriends were being sent out. So they wanted peace. But they wanted peace. Why? They said, the motto was, make love, not war. Which means they just wanted to enjoy sense gratification. Peace will peacefully enjoy sense gratification. This was the idea. So when Krishna talks about peace, it's the inner peace that one gets when one has nothing to get from anyone. One has no material desire. Means we want to get something that we don't have. We want to get something from someone. We're not satisfied with our position. We want to change something. We have some duty in this world which we're attached to doing. But in Krishna consciousness, one is also active, but there's no exploitive tendency and one is fully satisfied. Therefore, one is innerly peaceful. Because one's acting for Krishna to the best of one's ability and one is fully satisfied that Krishna is looking after me and whatever happens is Krishna's mercy. I have to try and serve Krishna to the best of my ability. But the result is in Krishna's hands. And so one is peaceful like that. One is actually happy. Happiness, that cannot come if we're not peaceful. Because if we're not peaceful, it means we have desire, we have fear. But a devotee in Krishna consciousness doesn't have fear. He knows that Krishna is protecting me. So a devotee in Krishna consciousness, he may not appear to be very peaceful. He's very active. A very active life, that is rajaguna. In material existence, active life is rajaguna. One is very active, always trying to do something so that you can achieve something. So in Krishna consciousness, one is active also, and one is trying to achieve something. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he might have seemed to be in the Rajaguna, because he was definitely trying to achieve something. He was trying and giving his full energy to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He had a very strong desire to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But that is not Rajaguna. That is beyond Sattvaguna. You all know these terms? Rajaguna, Sattvaguna. You all understand that? Yeah. You know what that means? Sattvaguna? It's called the mode of goodness. Rajaguna, the mode of passion. So, a devotee may be very active, but he has inner peace. He's always thinking of Krishna. In fact, in Krishna consciousness, the desire to be peaceful is condemned, especially by the recent followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The idea that we should live very peacefully is a kind of personal desire. A devotee becomes peaceful because he desires to serve Krishna. But if we desire peace for ourselves, that is a material desire. That is counted among material desires. Now we say if we become peaceful by getting free of all material desires, but the desire to be peaceful, it's also material because it's a personal desire. We want it, I want for myself, I want to be peaceful. It's not a pure desire because it's something I want for me. Just like someone, after a stressed out week at work, they may desire to go to the country at the weekend and just relax. But after a couple of days, it's too quiet here. In fact, you've probably heard that people who go from New York City, which is generally noisy with sirens and car horns honking, that people who are used to this noise, 24 hours noise of the city, when they go to a peaceful situation in the country, they can't sleep because it's too peaceful. They're not used to it. And so you can purchase, or you can just download it from the internet these days, the sounds of the city, so they can play that and then they can sleep. Because it's like that also. People who work in the sewers, I don't know in this country, but for instance, in Paris, in France, there are sewers which are like underground tunnels with passages and people can go down there. And you can imagine what it smells like, but they get used to it. To them, it smells quite normal and quite nice. That means all the excrement of the city is running past them, and it's quite normal to them. So, the desire for peace is actually Krishna's promoting that here. He's telling you how you can be peaceful. Because in this material world, the activity and trying to fulfill personal desires, an intelligent person, as Lord Buddha points out, this leads to misery. So a beginning in spiritual realization is to see that activity in this material world is cause of suffering, and therefore one desires to be peaceful. So Krishna points out how we can be peaceful. But this is not the ultimate teaching of Bhagavad Gita, simply to be peaceful. Rather, Arjuna, who wanted to be peaceful by not fighting, Krishna told him to go and fight. And he told him that by doing so, Shashvat Shantim Nigacchati, you will attain eternal peace. If Arjuna had left the fight, he might have been peaceful in one sense. But always his consciousness would rack him, that everyone was depending on me, Yudhishthira was depending on me, and now I left it, so his mind would not be peaceful. He couldn't be peaceful. Whereas Krishna says, if you fight, if you do your duty, if you do what I want you to do, Arjuna, then you will feel peaceful. Yes, I did my duty. I did what I was supposed to do for Krishna and for everyone else. So interesting, isn't it, that even this discussion, Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita is sometimes called Gita Upanishad. So that is spoken, of course it was spoken on a battlefield, but the Upanishads, they are spoken, they're exchanges between gurus and disciples. So it's mostly in the forest. The gurus were mostly in the forest with their disciples in Gurukul. So it'd be quite peaceful situation. But even then they were talking about peace. Simply living in the forest, that wasn't considered peaceful enough. One has to attain a state of spiritual peace. That is the major subject of the Upanishads. So what to speak of today's modern disturbed age, even in the Vedic age, among the most sattvic people, the brahmanas, even then the question was how to attain peace. Simply to live in the forest, a very detached life, that wasn't considered peaceful enough. One has to attain a state of actual spiritual peace. But Krishna, after talking so much about peace in Bhagavad Gita, he still urges Arjuna to fight. And he tells him that by doing so, you can attain eternal peace. And we find also, in our Krishna conscious movement, the idea of just being peaceful and chanting by yourself, that was never encouraged by Srila Prabhupada or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Jare dekho tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amaragya guru hoyatara idesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, instruct them in the science of Krishna. On my order be a guru and deliver this land. So the devotee who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is recorded as having spoken this to, although he spoke to many, many others, he was at Kurumakshetra. I'm told that most of the devotees here are from what is still Andhra Pradesh. Oh, it's even after Telangana splits, that'll still be Andhra Pradesh. So, any of you from that area, Kurumakshetra? No, you're all from a different area. Any of you visit there, Kurumakshetra? The only. That means Srikakulam. That area. You never went. See, I visited there. You didn't. I visited so many places. So he was in that area. So the devotee said that, he'd said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I want to go with you. Can you imagine Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? You never heard of him, don't know anything about him. You're living in your village, doing your brahminical duties very peacefully, very nicely. All of a sudden, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in, Brahman says, I want to go with you. I don't stay at home anymore. Once I've seen you, what do I want to stay at home for? And this material life is simply a botheration. And he was living a very peaceful life as a Brahmin, you can imagine. Although in Kali Yuga, where's the peace? They'll be arguing amongst each other and this and that. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you stay here, you preach Krishna consciousness, and about this Bishoy Taranga, he complained about the waves of materialistic life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him, Kabhu na bhadhipe tomar e bishoy taranga punarapi e thai pabe morasanga. He told this brahmana that if you do this, if you preach Krishna consciousness, then you will never be obstructed by the waves of material existence, and at this very place you will again get my association. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say that if you preach Krishna consciousness, you'll have a very peaceful life. But he said, you won't. That will not be an obstruction. And you will get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association. So, if we preach Krishna consciousness, we can't expect a very peaceful life. If we desire, the desire for peace is an obstruction to the preaching of Krishna consciousness. We may think, well, I'll just sit and do my chanting. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he rejected this as a cheating proposal. Dushtaman tumi kisha vaishnav pratishta tare nirjane ghare tomar harinama kevala kaitava. He said that, in addressing his own mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you, dear mind? For the sake of prestige, you want to pose yourself as a great Vaishnava simply chanting Harinam without going out and preaching. That's the implication. And then he goes on to say, Toma Pratishta Shukarebishta. Your desire for prestige, name and fame is just about as good as the stool of a pig. That's a pretty strong indictment, isn't it? You want name, fame and glory, you might as well catch a pig, take some of that stuff which comes out of its backside and rub it all over your body. It's just as nice. That's a very heavy indictment. So, this is the order of our gurus to preach Krishna consciousness. And that was the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to persons. He just met them. And he would tell them to chant Hare Krishna and instruct others to chant Hare Krishna. And you can imagine that there would be, even in the villages of India at that time, which we can imagine are very peaceful compared to today, there would have been opposition to that. If someone comes and says, okay, I just saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chant Hare Krishna. Well, what do you mean chant? What are you talking about chant Hare Krishna? We have our family traditions and we're Rig Vedis or whatever. We have to chant the Rig Veda. And what is all this? Chanting Hare Krishna, there would have been so much opposition. So we can't expect a peaceful life, but we can expect to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if we preach Krishna consciousness. Now we may think that, well, okay, let's just preach, but do it in a peaceful way. But all right, there's no need to unnecessarily agitate people. But if we are actually preaching Krishna consciousness, then we can expect that some people will get disturbed, because after all, we're asking people to surrender to Krishna, and the conditioned souls in the material world means that we don't want to surrender to Krishna. That's why we're here. We didn't come here to serve Krishna, we came here to forget Krishna. So if we ask people to give up their sense gratification, which is the whole meaning of their life, then they'll become disturbed. Just like if I... By the way, who's the owner of this house? Yourself. Okay, if we ask you, okay, now you just give up your house, you probably wouldn't have even started chanting Hare Krishna if we asked you to do that. If we came to you and said, give up your... This is all Maya. We tell you chant Hare Krishna in your house and use this house for preaching and dovetail that in Krishna's service, then that's quite acceptable. And that is fully acceptable in Krishna consciousness. We're not asking people to give up their houses, but use everything in Krishna's service. But the idea that we have to give up our sense gratification, this is very distressing to the conditioned soul. We have to, instead of thinking, this is my house, we have to think, now this house, I'm living in it just as a servant. And who's the boss? Krishna. And I have to use everything in this house only for serving Krishna. So the whole idea, after so much effort, one gets a house, and it's supposed to be the place, my own place, which is meant exclusively for my enjoyment. There may be so many other houses, but this house is my house, and I got it by working hard, and it is meant for me to enjoy, and for me to go out from to enjoy more. So if we say, no, now this house you have to dedicate to Krishna, for Krishna's service. And everything we have to dedicate for Krishna's service. Of course, there are ways of presenting Krishna consciousness to people, but the basic fact is, the basic fact is that most people are not very interested in Krishna consciousness and don't want to take it up. So preaching, of course, Krishna consciousness is a great art, but some people will be disturbed. And even if we do it very nicely and sweetly, the very endeavor to go out and bring Krishna consciousness to others means there will be not very peaceful life. One has to make an effort. But that is pleasing to Krishna. And if Krishna is pleased, then we can be pleased, because we are part and parcel of Krishna. Just like the spark in the fire, if the spark is in the fire, then it's ablaze. If it falls out of the fire, then it becomes dull. So our aim is not to be peaceful per se. And the idea, let me be peaceful, as soon as we say, me, what do I want? Then it's not Krishna consciousness. What does Krishna want from me? We should always think, this is Krishna consciousness. Now, of course, different people have different propensities and abilities also. I was just speaking to one devotee yesterday, and I was encouraging him to take up more preaching. And he said, all my life I've been a little shy like that. So I said, well, what do you like to do for Krishna? He said, I like to do cooking. I said, all right, but do more cooking then for Krishna. Do what you can, whatever you can do, do for Krishna. Do whatever we're doing, do more. Until there's nothing left but Krishna's service. But the idea that let me just relax and not give myself to Krishna, that is actually a contamination. Of course, Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, yukta hara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta swapnava bodhasya yoga bhavati dukaha, that one can, by practicing yoga in a balanced way, one can overcome all miseries. So, balanced eating, recreation or leisure, sleeping, activities, balance. So we have to see the body and in material existence, the body and mind have some limitations also. We need to sleep also. We may not be able to preach or engage physically in Krishna's service non-stop. Going out, we may need some time to come back, and that's also required, to some relaxation. Of course, for devotees, relaxation means we should study Srila Prabhupada's books. We can be with devotees and discuss with them. So balanced life also, but this basic point that especially in Kali Yuga, we can't expect a very peaceful existence. But we should try to serve Krishna to the best of our ability. And even the desire to be very peaceful we should understand that there's a higher platform than simply desiring peace. In India, people often say, have you achieved shanti? But that is not our aim. Our aim is to achieve Krishna, the lotus feet of Krishna. Simply to be peaceful, that is not our fully realized position. Beyond that is Krishna consciousness. Peaceful condition means, it's just like if someone is in pain and you give them a sedative and they go to sleep. So they're relieved from the pain. But that's not a healthy condition. So similarly, a material life is disturbing. So we may desire peace. But our real healthy position is to be active in service to Krishna. So let us all be active in service to Krishna. And then we will have true internal peace, being happy in the service, happily situated at Krishna's lotus feet, with no personal desire. That is our aim. So for that we have to perform the sadhana of Krishna bhakti, chanting the holy names of Krishna, following the regulated principles, all these activities. So, Hare Krishna, any question about this? Yes, please. If you're in search of peace of mind, you join the wrong movement. Quote from TKG. You join the wrong movement. You struggle with it. Well, it's the same point that there is an internal sense of peace, of satisfaction in serving Krishna. Same example of Arjuna. He could have left the battlefield, but he would have not been satisfied in his mind. So if we understand that our existence is meant for serving Krishna, then we can't be satisfied if we're holding anything back from serving Krishna. Then we ourselves, we can't feel satisfied because we know that we're cheating Krishna. So that's real peace of mind. Comes from full engagement in Krishna's service. And at the end of life, we can have at least at the end of life, if we think, well, I didn't really give everything to Krishna, then we can't be satisfied. So, we can preach to people that you will get peace in Krishna consciousness, but we have to explain what that means. Doesn't mean that you'll. It's different to the idea of peace that is promoted by Mayavadis, impersonalists, and those who promote this kind of meditation, where you do 15 minutes in the morning meditation, but the rest of the day you have to work. Lowers the stress, you could say. But it doesn't bring you to the full state of. It doesn't do anything to help to bring you to a actual spiritual realization. It just helps you to cope better with all the travails of life in the modern world. So that's not really spiritual at all. It's a kind of relaxation technique. But the kind of peace that Krishna is talking about in Bhagavad Gita has got nothing to do with these relaxation techniques. That's much more deeper and profound peace. Yes, please.
Thank you so much. Krishna says rhetorically in this verse, like you said, how can there be happiness without peace? And then chapter 5, verse 29 is the peace formula.
Yeah, Bhuktaram Yagatapasam. Yeah.
So is there, within Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures, is there a happiness formula?
The happiness formula is Krishna consciousness. Chaito darpana marjanam bhava mahada vagni nirapanam. Everything's there. The seven effects of the Sankirtan movement. The mirror of the heart becomes cleansed. The burning fire of material existence, of the forest of material existence, is extinguished. Then the lotus of good fortune blooms. It's all very poetic language. And then the Shriyakayeva Chandika. Yeah, the lotus moon of good fortune blooms. Shriyakayeva Chandika Vita. It distributes the rays of the lotus moon of good fortune. Is the wife Vidyavadhu Jivanam. It is the life of the wife of knowledge. Anandam Buddhivardhanam. There you go. There's the bliss. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. Anandam Buddhivardhanam. Pratipadam Purnamritasvadhanam enables us to taste bliss at every step. Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, is all conquering, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So that's the peace formula in Bhagavad Gita, and the bliss formula is in Shikshashtaka. Yeah.
Since you travel around the world, is it many ISKCON centers and people's homes, how would you say the Grihastha devotees are doing in terms of this Krishna conscious definition of peace?
How are Grihasthas doing around the world, in my experience, in terms of the Krishna conscious definition of peace? Well, this is a subjective question, which is always relative. So if we compare Krishna-conscious grihasthas with sannyasis who are fully 24 hours engaged in Krishna-conscious, they may not appear to be doing very well. Those who are squeezing in their rounds here and there and rushing off to work, of course, in America, you're not so busy, but definitely in India. The Indian economy is developing. One of the reasons is because the average working day is about 16 hours. Whereas in America, it's 6 or 7 days a week. Whereas in America, it's 8 hours. What is it? 8 hours, 5 days a week, generally. So that's one reason why the economy is developing, because people are, if we say that people are working like asses, then the asses will feel insulted because they don't work nearly as hard as the people. So the level of sadhana is really not up to the level, but they're doing their best. So from one perspective, they're not doing very well. From another perspective, I mean, the Grihasthas in Krishna consciousness, they're clearly far better position than people without Krishna consciousness. Much, much better. So there's two perspectives. How are they doing? They're really struggling. from one perspective. On the other hand, even that's true. I mean, it's amazing that someone who's living in the modern world, anyone living in the modern world, agrees to give up meat eating, gambling, illicit sex, intoxication, and to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. It's amazing. It's such a materialistic age we live in. Krishna's mercy. And people are making advancement by doing that. Otherwise, what are you all doing here? You could be, I don't know, playing pool, going to a gambling casino, so many other things. You could be at a rifle range, all kinds of things. You could be doing. Texas is gun country, right? So, all kinds of things you could be doing. Could be at a, you know, striptease bar, or just sitting at home with friends and watching TV. Not very heavy sense gratification, but just a complete nonsense waste of time. But you're not. You've all come here deciding. You all decided to utilize your time for hearing a talk about Bhagavad Gita. How many people are doing that? That's extremely exalted. In this Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, I included one anecdote of who later became Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, when he first visited the Gauriya Math at Ultadanga Road, which is a rented house. He was astonished that there was discussion of the Upanishads in Calcutta, such a big materialistic city. How could that be in such a materialistic setting that people are here listening to discussion of the Upanishads? He was astonished. So that is being replicated all over the world. But better, we establish the rural communities for grihasthas where devotees can live together as devotees and be Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. They don't have to go through the bifala shavinu kripana dura jana chapala shuka laba lagi re. They don't have to do some useless work for some useless people just to maintain themselves. So, varnashram, communities, Prabhupada wanted. Yes.
Peace that people usually speak of in the mundane sense of being quiet, and the peace that a devotee has, even though he's engaged in activity. And that reminds one of the story of Queen Kunti, where she's praying to Krishna.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, there's that. What is that shloka? Vipada santu ta shashvat tatra tatra jagad garo bhavato darshanam yat syad apunag bhavadarshanam. She says, very unusual prayer. And you have to be really bold to pray like this. She prays that let there be more and more dangers and difficulties in my life, in our life. Because if there are difficulties, then we see you. And by seeing you, we no longer see repeated birth and death. It takes a lot of courage to pray like that. One can pray in a general way, O Krishna, please give me prema bhakti or something like this. But to pray, give me difficulty, takes a lot of courage. Give me difficulty specifically so that we can remember you in difficulty. So, what had happened? The Pandavas had been in difficulties one after another, and now the whole situation was settled. The Kauravas were vanquished, and they were at last in a peaceful condition. They got in a peaceful condition, and she said, no, we don't want this. We want you. Because Krishna was going away. There was no need for Krishna to be there anymore. The whole matter was all settled up. But she thought, if you're going away, then better we have difficulty, so you have to come back. Very exalted prayer. Even Krishna might be surprised. You can imagine, just like at Tirumalai, oh, that's the Tamil version, Tirumala, you know, Telugu people. So the people are coming, help me pass my exam. Help me get more money. Help me solve my debts. Help me get my, solve my health problem. And someone comes up and says, please give me difficulty. Even God himself may be surprised. Oh. Ooh. Just like, you know, solve my health problem. Yeah. So, give me more money. Okay. Visa for America. Okay. Pass my exam. Okay. Give me difficulty. What? Okay. What? What's that you say? Even he may be surprised. He's also a person, so.
They call that foregrounding in psychology.
What do they call it?
Foregrounding.
Foregrounding. I see. How to grab attention when there are so many. Yes, and Krishna may take more. Yes, Krishna will take more. He'll give you more attention. Everyone's coming, material benefit. And you say, Krishna, I only want you. And Krishna, oh, yes. Krishna will take notice. So then you may think, well, among all our devotees, they're all praying for pure devotional service. I'll pray for something material. And then I'll get Krishna. Then I'll get Krishna's attention. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Books. Okay, bring the books. Sigram. How do you say in Telugu? Don't know. You're from Tamil. Tamil is Sigram. In Telugu, same?
Varaga.
Okay.